But it's found on the front of your bulletin, and then I think it'll be on the screen as well. This is just a great verse from Isaiah chapter 49, and it's 16a, which is the first part of the verse. And we talked about this from a standpoint of being tattooed on the hands of God. So we're going to say the scripture, the reference, the verse, and then the reference again. Okay, here we go. Isaiah 49:16a. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Isaiah 49:16a. Okay, so I've been asking the question each week, how many have stayed off the crazy news? Okay, well, Katie, you're the first person that I saw raise your hand. You get a tattoo sleeve. So you have been tattooed by God. Now you get to prove it by wearing that out in the street. So you can show us that after the service. Okay, you know, last week we talked about how America has become like the new Babylon, right? Lots of slimy stuff going on in our culture. And we talked about the Christian having three choices to make as we live in our particular culture or setting. First was, and is, we can isolate ourselves. So we can ignore everything that's going on, put our heads in the sand kind of thing, or like I've mentioned, you know, move out to Wyoming, build a bunker. In other words, shelter yourself from everything that's going on, not even talk about it. That's number one. So you can isolate yourself, or two, you can assimilate, which means we become like culture. We practice everything that is going on in culture, which, by the way, I know of two Christian colleges. One I went to, and they totally went, very strong Christian college, totally went against what they had stood for years, and in a matter of 2 to 3 years, they closed their doors. There's another college that's having struggles right now. In fact, if you look at a lot of the Christian colleges that have gone away from their foundation or the basics of Christianity, you will see their enrollments declining, and lots of them are starting to struggle. Assimilate. We become like the culture. Or there's number three, that's the one we talked about, that's what we'd like to strive to be like, that would be to infiltrate without being contaminated. In other words, we as Christians live in the culture, but we're not contaminated by the culture. In other words, we can be light in our own city, in the state, in the country, especially when we follow God rather than the culture. Now, we also learned that as we live as strangers in this land, we need to settle down, right? We're here, so we got to live here. So we're going to buy houses, we're going to rent apartments, we're going to build a house, we're going to build buildings, all sorts of stuff. So we're going to settle down in the land, just like the Israelites did in Babylon. They settled down, they moved in. But then we're going to build, just like the Israelites, we're going to try and build strong families, real strong families, good strong family units. And then we're going to get involved with city life, seeking the city's welfare, seeking the idea that the city can prosper as we as Christians, you know, kind of come in and saturate the culture with God. So we look for its welfare. And maybe we become a city worker. That's okay. That's good. That's, remember, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's what they did. That's what Daniel did. Maybe you become a city council person or get on the board of education or a teacher or coach or a mentor. You can do so many things within the city and then influence the city rather than letting the city or the state or the nation influence you. We always have to remember as well along the way God's promises. And never forget, started in the Old Testament when God said to Abraham, I will be your God and you will be my people. That promise still holds today. God doesn't take back his promises. Then we also have to keep in our minds and our hearts that the fourth is with us. You remember that from last week? Jesus standing there, or the presence of God there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. That fourth person, that divine person, was with those three. And Jesus is always with us. He always stands in the fire with us. So, as we know, We are to be this light, right? In a zany, crazy world in which we live. It's a very sinful world, and you know, we're part of it. But I want to show you just a little bit of proof from Scripture that we are supposed to be the light. Judy read something this morning for us already on that. So here it is. Now, you want to turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Philippians 2, 14 through 16. Now, I'm going to read it for you, and then we're going to come back to it in just a minute, because I want to share a couple other scriptures with you. And here's what it says. So keep your thumb there after we're done reading this. It says, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation," or some Bibles say generation, right? That was Babylon. Now, the Apostle Paul wasn't necessarily talking about Babylon right there. He was talking about Rome and that whole entire area, which back then was kind of the new Babylon. So don't grumble, argue, so that you may become blameless and pure in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or generation, among who you shine as lights in the world as you hold firmly to the word of life. So what he's saying here is infiltrate the world as light, but do not be contaminated by what's in the world. Okay? And we'll get into that in just a second. Then you have Luke 2:32. You don't have to turn there, but you might want to jot them down because I don't have them on the outline in the bulletin. But if you want to jot it down, you can read the whole story by yourself. But Luke 2:32, Mary and Joseph, they bring their young son Jesus right to the temple and to be dedicated. And there's Simon. Simon's been waiting and has been promised by God that he would see the Messiah. So he's in the temple. And when he sees Jesus, he says, "My eyes have seen your," that is God's salvation. He's seen that now in Jesus, in that baby Jesus, "which you, God, have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Acts 13:47, "For this is what the Lord has commanded us, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." Wow. I think that's pretty cool. That light brings salvation to people. Where? Well, in our city, in our schools, on our sports teams, throughout not only this community, but the surrounding communities, as we work together, and of course the state, to the ends of the earth. It tells us that mission, not only locally but around the world, is real important to be that light. Acts 26:23 tells us that Jesus would suffer, and then as the first to rise from the grave, in other words, he was rose from the grave or from the dead, he would bring the message of light to his own people, which would be the Israelites, the Jews, and then to the Gentiles, which would be us. Now, we have Christ in us, so if he's the light, we're to portray that light to others. And then Isaiah 42:6-7, God says to his people and to us today that he has called us to righteousness, and he will hold our hands that we may be a light for the Gentiles. He'll hold our hands that we may be a light to the Gentiles, that eyes may be opened and those who live in darkness may be released. Wow. Man, we've got such a great opportunity to do so many wonderful things, that God has it right here as we are the light. Well, what is a light for anyway? You know, what is a light for? I want to go back to our Philippians chapter 2, 14 through 16. And Let me just read it for you one more time. It says, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world as you hold firmly to the word of life." Okay? So here we learn that obeying, we learn right here that obeying and pleasing God will mean that we avoid grumbling and disputing and arguing, which is what the world loves to do. Isn't it? Isn't that what the world loves to do? That's what our flesh loves to do too, right? But we have Christ now, and he brings us righteousness, but the world just loves this. And so our goal is for us to prove to be in practice who we already are by grace. To be in practice who we are in Jesus Christ through his grace. That is, blameless and innocent children. And so here's the deal. This character of not grumbling, griping, and complaining and being part of the world that way will allow us to shine like a light and hold out the word of life. No one's going to believe us if we're grumbling, complaining. In other words, when we grumble and complain, we cannot be a light in the world. So, we find that light is for holding out the word of life, holding out Christ, what Christ did, Christ's example, what the accomplishments of Christ on the cross and rising again. So we hold all of that out. But let me share with you a couple other things. This is in your bulletin if you want to jot them down. It's very short. Share what else life or light is for. And we all know this. It's pretty simple. First is a light is used to make manifest. Manifest? What word is that? Where did that come from? Some old archaic word that no one uses anymore. It means to make evident, to make clear, to shine a light on. And for us, what do we make manifest? Well, we want to shine a light on Jesus Christ, who he is, what he did. There's eternal life through him. So we want to make that clear. We want to make that manifest. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he would make things manifest by going to the Word of God and proving through the Old Testament even that Jesus was the Savior. He shone a light on it. He made it evident for others. So a Christian should shine in such a way that a person could not live a week without knowing he is a believer. So if you meet somebody and you see them on a daily basis for a week, really, they should know that you're a believer without you even saying Jesus' name. I think that's very possible. Let me ask you this. Do your coworkers know, or people that you work with, do they know that you're a Christian? Do they know it? Is it because you flat out told them, or is it because when you hung around them for a while, they're going, there's something different about this person. Now, we do want to tell people we're Christians. That's fine, right? But sometimes at work or wherever you may be, you really don't have the opportunity to talk about that. So you live the life. And so what I'm saying here is as you live the life of light, people should be able to recognize that you're different, that something is moving in you. And, of course, that's Jesus Christ. Our staff is studying a book. It's a business book. And it's on leadership. And it's talking about riding the bus together, getting on the bus together, becoming a team, becoming more unified, and then becoming energized for our vision, our whatever the mission is. And in this case, he's talking about companies and stuff like that. Well, the author's name is John Gordon. And I had never read him before, but within the first three chapters, without even talking about God, you know this guy is a Christian. You just know it. You can feel it. You can sense it. He didn't have to come up in his book and say, Dave, I'm a Christian. Here it is. And I base it on John 3:16. Just the way he wrote and the things he was writing about, I go, man, this guy's a Christian. So I looked him up to find out his religious beliefs. And it's a very interesting story. Through failure in life, he got hooked into a belief that there are several paths to heaven. Buddha, Shinto, Confucius, all these guys, Islam, Muslims, all that sort of stuff. And that's what he believed until he really hit rock bottom. And it was then he met Jesus in a personal way. Now he infiltrates the world without being contaminated. And he does it in various ways using various methods and modes to lead people to Christ. It just shines as he is. Now that's the kind of guy I want to hang out with. And I think as Christians, those are the types of people we want to hang out with. People that reflect the light of Jesus Christ. And then we go out and reflect that light to others that don't know who Jesus is. Now, not only are lights to shine on the truth of Jesus or to, you know, to make manifest, but they are intended to guide. A light guides us, doesn't it? I was a camp counselor at an American Baptist church in northern Ohio. Up by the lake, and it was a lot of fun. At the end of camp, we had to, and this was a junior high camp, so there were junior high kids and stuff, lots of kids, and we had to, the last night, we had to walk through the woods up this trail. It was pretty hilly and stuff, and you could not walk that path. It was so dark unless you had light. It was steep. It was rocky. However, along the way, the counselors and the staff had planted or set up these, you know, the candles in the bag kind of thing that go all along. So it was about almost a three-quarter of a mile walk. Not long, but hilly and rocky and stuff like that. And these candles then, or whatever they were in the bag, those lights in the bag, they led us all the way to a worship center that was about this big. It wasn't indoors, it was outdoors. And you had stumps to sit on and stuff like that. And then you overlooked this big canyon. You couldn't see anything because it was so dark across the canyon. But along the way, these kids were guided to worship. And that night, several of the kids gave their lives to Jesus. They were guided, in essence, by this light. And then through the counselors and everybody else there being a light, kids were turned on to Jesus. And so a light is a guide. Now, that light, a lot of times softly, as the hymn goes, and tenderly, calls people to Jesus. It's a great thing. We do this through building relationships with people. People that don't know Jesus. And we guide them to church or a small group or maybe a Bible study. Or maybe as simple as inviting them over to our house for dinner sometime. And just sit and talk and get to know one another. Here, of course, we have church, we have small group, we have Bible study, we have Financial Peace University, we have all sorts of stuff, including now a marriage retreat coming up. I'm so excited about that. So, lights are intended to guide us. Number three, lights are also used for warning, aren't they? Yellow for yield, green for go, and then, of course, red for stop. So the red light usually means that there's danger somewhere. A lighthouse, of course, shines a nice big light, you know, there towards the harbor so that ships won't hit rocks or whatever, or even hit shore. So they have this big light, even though it's a white, bright light. It shines as a warning and as a beacon that you're close to land. Now, we all know that Satan has a lot of evil stuff all over the place. Of course, we got media, we got technology, we got materialism. And so as light in this world, our job is to warn and talk to people about sin. Not be judgmental, but talk to them about the evils of this world and sin and what goes on, and then lead folks to that new way in Jesus Christ. So as we learned in Bible study on Wednesday night, we learned that technology is leading the way in keeping people addicted to the things of this world. Just totally leads the way. And so we were trying to figure out, what can we do as a church? It's very difficult, right? Because how many of you are hooked on your phones? Don't raise your hands, but I know you are. How many of you are addicted to Facebook? Don't raise your hands. I know probably some of you are. You surf it all the time, right? So how can we infiltrate the culture without being contaminated by all of that stuff and then start making real lasting relationships with people and lead them to Jesus. So we need to be a warning light in regards to the demise, basically, of our culture. You know, I was reading on dads, I think next year in 2019, we're trying to put something together with an author, Michael Gurian, who has written probably about 20 books on fathering and especially raising boys, which is a very difficult thing to do in our day and age. And so we're going to try and have him come in. But I was reading some statistics. In our country, 70%, absent dads, 70% of kids live that way. Now, that doesn't mean that dad has just left the house. It means the workaholic dad who's absent. That's the kind of world in which we live. We can either assimilate or isolate, not care, or we can jump in, infiltrate without being contaminated, and help people to create better families and have better families. You know, we also have in our country another huge couple of things, like sports. That's basically become the new god, along with technology. Money, of course, greed, you know, materialism. And all of that needs a warning light. And it's not going to get it from our culture, but it can and should get it from the Christian community. And you know how we do that? In order to shine as a light, we don't grumble and gripe about it, right? Well, you're hooked on technology, you're going straight to hell. It's not going to work, folks. But love will. And us complaining about things. Those of you that have stayed off the media and off the what I call the junk news and have just read your newspaper, have you found yourself, I know for me, have you found yourself not complaining as much? You actually start looking for how you can help in the world other than think about what's going on with so-and-so in the White House and so-and-so in the mayor's office and all these sorts of things. Instead, you want to make a difference one person at a time. Finally, a light, or the light of Christ, brings a joyful influence to the world. I always said we should be the biggest laughter group in the world, the biggest smiling group in the world. God has given us so many opportunities. So we should be comforting people. We should be encouraging people and loving them, bringing kind words of joy and hope. And so when people don't have hope, we say there is hope. And it's in Christ Jesus. It's in peace. It's in grace. It's in forgiveness. It's in love. And what we should be doing is carrying sunshine everywhere we go. If we're not carrying sunshine, we're doing no one good at all. So, gloom and doom is not my bag, folks. I don't care if a nuclear war is coming or not. Gloom and doom just should not even be part of our lives, because we already have the victory. It's now our job to be a light in the world. So I've seen way too many people, as I wrap this up, way too many people who have been through some of life's worst situations. The worst. And they went in reflecting Christ. They came out reflecting Christ and who Jesus is. Simply because they know they always have hope in Jesus. And there were struggles and doubts and fears, but they reflected the love of Jesus Christ. For them, happiness is to know the Savior. And that's what I would love to see. For everybody that knows Jesus Christ, happiness, true happiness and joy and peace is to know the Savior. Now, those types of folks are folks that shine for me, and they shine for others. And so as a light of Christ, we are to shine that light of Jesus, guide others to Jesus, warn folks, the community, the society about the evils of this world, and then be that joyful influence to others around us. So what's a light for, if you wrap it up in a nutshell? The light is to lead people to Jesus Christ, who is the Word of Life. So my question for you this morning as we sing our closing hymn, and then Tim shares with us our benediction and announcements, will you be a light? Will you be that kind of light? Man, we have a great opportunity here in our community. I hope you will. And if you don't know what the light is, or you want to become a believer and become a light, well, then simply talk to myself or Pastor Tim, or even right where you are, and just pray for Jesus to enter your heart and give your life over to Him. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this group that's been with us here today, and I pray a special blessing upon them and upon their households and upon all of us who have faith, hope, and trust in you, that we will really be a center of joy and a beacon of light to our community, our families, first and foremost, then our community, schools, everything like that, and then take it to the state and to the ends of the earth. That's what you've called us to do. It's a great challenge, but it's a wonderful challenge. It's life-changing. Thank you for letting us be part of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.